Hello, everybody, and welcome again to the Stress Bros podcast for the week of April 24th, 2013. I am your host, Richard Perez, and joining me is Lee White. Today on deck for the podcast, we're going to be talking about Brett Oberholzer making an abbreviated debut, Jose Cisneros coming up to the big leagues to get his debut done, and we're talking about Jose Altuve having a hot bat, and Chris Carter, what he's doing at the plate. And we're going to talk about the big call-up of big hitter Robbie Grossman. All that and more right after this.
There it is! The Astros have won the Central Division title.
It's gone! It's gone! It's gone!
Line drive right center field. That's up at 3,000!
Hello, everybody. Let's get this podcast started off right. What do you want to start off with first, Rick? You want to start off about Jose Altuve? You want to talk about Brett Oberholzer? What's going on?
You know what? Since Brett Oberholzer is more back in the – it's starting to fade off. Let's get that done out of the way first so that way it could just be passed on and we could talk about more recent things. But Brett Oberholzer had a pretty good major league debut. I don't know if that – you know, if, what, two innings would facilitate a good a good major league debut, but I, you know, for considering what the guy has done, I think he's pretty good. My goodness, I didn't get to watch that game. I listened to it, and I really can't remember how he did. Do you recall?
I was actually not around at a computer. I was helping my parents get settled in, but I do not recall what he did. I can look it up real quick though. I do know that he did go two innings, and it was all, it wasn't the best debut, I don't think. I think he gave up a couple runs. Here it is. He
pitched two innings, gave up three hits, two runs.
Yeah.
And so with an ERA of 9, which isn't, I mean, with one game and two innings pitched, I've got a lot of faith in the guy, and to be honest, I think the Jose Cisneros is a much better pitcher than Oberholzer. Mm-hmm. You know, just watching them both here in Corpus Christi last year, I came to the conclusion rather early on that that Cisneros was the far superior pitcher to Oberholzer, and Oberholzer didn't really have much to him. Mm-hmm. There wasn't, you know, Oberholzer is a good guy, but I don't know if he'd cut it at the major league level or even at the triple A level for that fact, because he's getting banged around, he's getting knocked around, and I'm not too sure, you know, if he'll make it or if he'll just fizzle out. But I think it was good that he got his major league chance. And really, I think if you give a ball player just any chance out on the field, I think you can have, you know, I think you can have something spectacular happen any day, because you never know what's going to happen in the sport of baseball. And Brett Oberholzer, I think he did pretty good for his major league debut. He got sent down, which I don't think he should take it as a negative. I think what we're going to see coming up now is all of the major league prospects or minor league prospects getting a call up and then briefly sent for a brief while and then sent back down almost immediately. And, you know, while some people are, you know, criticizing, saying it's a waste of an option, I think it's good. That way you can give them it's not really getting their feet wet. It's more of getting their toes wet in the major leagues, giving them a taste of what's to come.
What the Astros did, I think, with Oberholzer was smart, you know. And it's obviously not about how he did on his debut, why he got sent down. They needed another long man, and I don't think the Astros see Oberholzer as a long man. And I really don't see Cisneros as a long man either, but I think Oberholzer will work better later in the innings or later in innings than Cisneros would. But the Astros really needed somebody that they could count on to eat up some innings in case Brad Peacock did what he did on Monday and got roughed up against the Mariners. They needed Cisnero to be able to come in and eat some innings for that bullpen that has been completely worn out from all the bad starting pitching. And that's more or less why they sent Oberholzer down. And from watching Cisnero on Monday, he looked really good. I was actually at that game, and he's a pretty sneaky, fast pitcher. He can fire the ball up there around 93. He looked really good to me anyways. But I want to go back to when Paul Clemens made his major league debut. He didn't look too good in his major league debut, kind of like Oberholzer. He got kind of knocked around a little bit, but now we see what Paul Clemens is doing at the major league level, and he looks pretty good to me. I think Paul Clemens could be in the starting rotation if we continue to see Eric Bedard or Brad Peacock struggle.
Yeah, I would agree. Paul Clemens did get the win in that game. Did he get the win on Monday?
On Monday?
Yeah.
No, we lost Monday against Seattle.
Okay. I know he did pretty good, and I've got faith. You know, these guys are young guys. Oberholzer, 23, Cisnero, 24, and Clemens, 25. So these guys really aren't major league ready yet. So don't really expect much from these guys. And really, I don't expect much these guys to perform at the major league level. And maybe while they're getting knocked around to AAA is because, you know, they are quite young. And Asher Wojciechowski is still here in Corpus at AA. And I've got a lot of faith in Wojciechowski. And Wojciechowski, he and – I'm not too sure. I think it was Nick Tropiano threw a combined two-hitter the other day.
Yes.
For the hooks. Was it
him? I don't know if it was Tropiano, but I know it was Wojciechowski. And I got to say, that is the most frat name I've ever heard of in my life. Asher Wojciechowski.
That name kind of belongs on the back of a baseball jersey.
Yeah, it does.
And
dude,
go for it.
I can't wait to see him make his major league debut. I don't know when it'll be, mainly because, you know, I don't know when he'll be ready, but he looks like a beast so far.
Yeah, Wojciechowski is amazing. And I think it might be the tandem pitching system here in Corpus Christi might be helping out, you know, Wojciechowski a little bit. I'd really like to see Wojciechowski go, go a distance. You know, we got to see him go deep in a few games last year, but I'd really like to see him go a lot deeper now that he's got another year at AA under his belt. And, but there's the thing is we've got so many pitchers, it'd be unfair, and there'd be too many days between starts. So I think seeing them go the distance, it may happen towards the end of the year. They may do away with the tandem pitching system.
Oh, yeah, they will. Luno, when he came up with the tandem pitching, he said that they were just going to use it at the beginning of the year and figure out who's going to be, you know, 1-2-5 later on. They're going to let that play out on its own rather than just designating somebody from the start of the year. But it ended up being David Martinez and Asher Wojciechowski that combined for the two-hit shutout.
Okay. But, yeah, so I'd really like to see his depth, how far he can go in a game. And I think that will be another trait, I guess you could say, of because he can fire the ball in there. Asher Wojciechowski is sick with it, let me tell you. He's got a
scoreless inning streak.
Yeah,
32 innings dating back to last year.
He can fool the guys, and he'll make you look silly, you know, at the plate. So I just want to see how long he can go his distance, or not the distance, but I guess you could say his endurance. That's one thing that I'm curious about right now about Wojciechowski. And speaking of the double A level, George Springer, the dude is tearing it up.
Yeah, he is.
George Springer's having one heck of a year at AA Corpus Christi. And
hashtag free that man.
Free George Springer. George Springer. I don't know if it's because he has a chip on his shoulder or if he's just that type of a player, but Springer can hustle, and he's got it in him. You just see something in him that when he plays, you see it. And it's amazing to watch him play, to be honest.
I can't wait till he's in Houston. I really can't. I'm not sure if he'll be up this year. I bet he ends the year in AAA. but I think he'll be the starting center fielder next season.
You know, I don't think you're wrong in that. I think he may earn an opening day spot next year.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go out on a limb and say that George Springer will be on the 2014 Astros opening day roster.
Okay. All right. Yeah. But I just don't see him making the team as a late season call-up. Number one, he's not on the 40-man roster. And number two, he's still in AA. I think they're going to let him progress through AAA because there's no point in rushing him right now.
Yeah, there's really no rush. I mean, what are we going to rush him to? You know?
So now, Singleton, on the other hand, I think he'll be up relatively quickly after he gets off that suspension list.
Yeah, I think Singleton will be up before the end of the year, really. Mm-hmm. I think I want to say in the Brett Wallace article I wrote not too long ago, it was just basically a general move, Astros making moves, I'm sorry. I made a call that George Springer, John Singleton would be out, or Brett Wallace would be out by the All-Star break, and John Singleton would be the everyday starter at first. What do you think of that?
Well, I don't know if it'll be that quick, but I do see John Singleton taking over everyday starting first base job before the year's over, just because that dude is a top-tier talent. He's the number one first base prospect in all of baseball right now, and I think he'll be up by the end of the year, and I can't wait because I love the guy. I really do.
You and me both, brother. You and me both. And speaking of Astros right now, I don't know if he's not really the first baseman, but Chris Carter is another guy who I'm liking as well. And
yeah.
I don't know how to convey this, but I think what we should see, I don't know if we can expect Jose Carter to be a consistent everyday batter. I think he'll be more of a streaky batter.
Oh, absolutely.
And when he's on it, he'll be on it. But when he loses it, it'll probably just be awful.
Kind of like he is right now. You know, like he started off the year bad, and then he picked it up on the road trip, and then now he's back. He's doing pretty bad, but he looks like he could be coming out of it every now and then. He ripped. I'm talking ripped a single. Could have been a double, but they gave Raul Ibanez an error, but it bounced off the wall and it kicked back on the infield. But they gave Ibanez an error on it. Could have been a double for Carter, but that's two hits in back-to-back days. He could be coming out of his slump, but he's a streaky hitter. So, I mean, we just got to – I think a lot of the fans, when we first traded Jed Lowrie, and because of what Jed Lowrie is doing right now, which he's killing it right now, but I don't expect him to – what Jed Lowrie is doing right now has fans thinking that Chris Carter should be hitting 330 bombs, and that's just not going to happen. He's not that kind of player. Now, he could hit 30 to 40 home runs, but he's going to – I think the most realistic batting average you're going to see from Chris Carter is 240, but the on-base percentage is what's the big thing, because he can jump up 100 points over on his on-base.
Yeah.
And right now I think it's close to 100 points higher already, but he's the type of guy that – He's gonna get on base, and he'll be able to drive in some runs and hit some home runs. And I really can't wait for him to break out of his slump, because I know when he does, the offense is going to be scoring a ton of runs too, like we saw on the road trip.
Yeah, and another thing about on the Jed Lowrie thing, I think Jed Lowrie struggles too much with health issues. Mm-hmm. And I said this on Twitter. I think Jed Lowrie will probably be in a full body cast by the time the year is over. So I think just in that alone, and Chris Carter's health, that we'll get the better end of the deal. But it's just for right now, Jed Lowrie is doing his thing and being just a great baseball player. And you know, it's fans are looking at him having success, and then look at Chris Carter not having as much success as Lowrie, and really thinking thinking Carter is. You know, we got shafted in that trade.
Yeah, but and that's definitely not the case. Absolutely. We got a really good prospect in Stassi. And Peacock, I don't know if people expected him to come out and be a really good number four, number three starter right off the bat. He's still a rookie. He had made two starts before he was an Astro, and the A's tried to mess with his delivery, which caused him to get torn up in AAA last year. That's part of the reason why he's with us now.
Right.
And he's getting that delivery back, and I think it's a matter of time before you see him actually, you know, pitching the way he can pitch, which he's not a bad pitcher. He's trying to be too perfect right now. And I could definitely see that on Monday night. You know, it caused him to run his pitch count up. He couldn't get batters out because he was trying to paint the corners and would end up either walking the guy or the guy would just sit there and foul off, and then bloop one or something and caused him to get in trouble. And once he realizes that he doesn't have to be perfect, that the Astros defense is much better this year than they have been lately, then I think he can become a pretty decent starter for the Astros, and that's going to go a long ways in determining the Jed Lowrie trade as well.
I completely agree with you there. That's took the words almost out of my mouth, but took the thoughts off my brain, and I totally agree with you there. That you put it in such beautiful words there, so eloquently statedly. No wonder you're such a great part of this podcast. We've got more coming up in the second half of this podcast, so keep it locked in here on this little musical interlude. We will be right back. I'm waking up. We're back here on the Stros Bros, coming at you live from the Stros Bros podcast studios in Houston, Texas, overlooking the historic Astrodome. Lee, I got to give props to where props are due. Jose Altuve is having a MVP-esque season for the Houston Astros right now. And I cannot be more proud about Jose Altuve and what he's doing for the Houston Astros right now.
Well, I wouldn't go as far as to saying he's having an MVP-type year just because he's a leadoff man. But he is absolutely stroking the baseball. He's hitting 370 right now, and I think he's got a 9-game hitting streak. And he's been a big part of this offense. If we can continue to get him on early in games, you know, we've got a good chance to take a lead because the way Castro is starting to hit the ball as well, the top of the lineup looks deadly. It's just taken a bit of a hit earlier tonight.
Yeah. What I meant by MVP, I just meant by team MVP. I didn't mean like league. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. I got that a little misconstrued there. But yeah, that's basically what I meant by MVP. And Jose Altuve, I mean, you listed all of his stats right there. I think the type of season he's having right now for the Astros takes him off the out of trade talks, I guess, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think he's gonna be traded by the Astros as many tinfoil hat, I guess you could say, enthusiasts are saying. You know, I think Jose Altuve is here to stay.
I do too, mainly because they don't know the Astros front office. They have no idea. I mean, and this is no knock on Delino DeShields Jr. The kid can play in the minor leagues.
Yeah.
But they don't know what they're going to get. Why would they trade their all-star second baseman to somebody else for prospects when they don't know what they're going to get from Delino? He's still a few years away from the major leagues. He's not ready yet. I think he's in high A right now anyways.
Yeah, he's in Lancaster.
They should not trade Altuve, and I don't think they will, mainly because you don't know what you're going to get from prospects from time to time. And not to say that Delino DeShields isn't going to pan out, because I fully believe he will, and I hope he does. And if he does, that's when they can trade Altuve, because he'll still be doing what he's doing. He'll just be 26 instead of 23.
Yeah. That's exactly what I'm saying. A lot of people who say Jose Altuve should be traded, or, you know, has the possibility to be traded, I shoot it down just because of Jose Altuve is 22 years old. He's a minor league guy performing at the major league level.
So, well, I wouldn't even say he's minor league anymore, mainly because he was an all-star last year. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean,
He's just extremely young.
That's somewhat what I meant. I should have worded it better. He's a young guy and performing at the major league level, where other guys, you know, at his age are still in, you know, high A or double A. Mm-hmm. And here he is, 22 years of age, playing at the major leagues.
Yeah.
So I think it's outstanding for him to be there, and I think it'd be a waste of a resource I think it'd be a black eye on this Astros front office right now if he were to be traded.
Yes, and he had, like, if he does get traded, because there's with this team, everybody has a chance to get traded. But if he did get traded, he would bring back a ton of prospects. He'd probably bring back some really good prospects. But I don't see a need to trade Jose Altuve right now. The Astros have what is considered the eighth best farm system in baseball right now, which is pretty dang good if you think about it. And they really have no need to trade a guy like Altuve when what they need is guys to get on base. And yes, he doesn't walk very much, but he's gonna hit for a really high average, and the walks are gonna be gravy because they will. He's starting to learn. He's taking more pitches because you got to realize that the dude is 22. You're not seeing what you're gonna see from him his entire career. Yeah, he's probably gonna hit his entire career, but he's gonna develop the ability to walk because, like you said, majority of guys at his age are still in high ball, and a lot of people don't realize that because the Astros called him up really early.
Yeah, I think it's I'd say it's a privilege to have him. Mm-hmm. At the major league level. And I really appreciate what he's done, and I admire it, really, to be honest, because, you know, guys spend their entire lives in the major leagues, and here he is, 22 years of age, and he's having an outstanding year at the major league level.
Yeah, and all he's going to do is hit. And what I like about Jose Altuve is he was never given the chance. He showed up to Astros tryouts. They sent him home. They said that he would never play. He showed up the next day and made the team.
Yep.
That's what I like about Jose Altuve. And he came out of nowhere. But what I really like, and I'll remember this for as long as Jose Altuve is in the league. This was before Kevin Goldstein got a job with the Astros, all that good stuff. As soon as Jose Altuve was called up, Kevin Goldstein was flipping out. He loved Jose Altuve, and he would I remember him saying Jose Altuve will break Pete Rose's all-time hits record by the end of the year. And I mean, that's obviously never going to happen. It's crazy, but I thought that was hilarious. And I've loved Jose Altuve and Kevin Goldstein ever since.
Yeah. I do like that. I find that pretty funny, and I think it's pretty cute, or not cute, but you know, I think it's pretty cool, and I know what he means by that. I think it's a vote of confidence for Altuve.
Well, yeah, and he was clearly joking because number one, Pete Rose's all-time hits record is in the 4,000 mark.
And it's just one of those jokes where people are gonna take it too serious, and they're like, he said this, he said that. Well, I mean, come on. But I think Jose Altuve is going to have a great career with Houston. And really, he's one of the – I don't know if you guys listen to Sully Baseball. If you don't, you should. But Sully Baseball Daily Podcast. And Sully is from the New England area and Massachusetts. He's a Red Sox fan, and he always talks about how the Red Sox need a homegrown guy. You know, that the Red Sox need a player that's homegrown from the farm system, you know, like they had the lovable guys in their World Series teams. And I think Jose Altuve is our guy. You know, mm-hmm. He's like Craig Biggio, Jeff Bagwell. I think he will go down as one of those type of players.
I don't know. That's pretty high praise. I mean, he's a fan favorite right now, and I think he'll continue to be a fan favorite. But and right now, he's the face of the Astros franchise. I think they definitely should build around him.
Right.
Up until, you know, Delino DeShields Jr. is ready, mainly because if he's ready and he can prove that he's ready and he can stick at the major league level, those are the big questions with prospects, you know. Yeah. But if DeShields can stick at the major league level, then by all means, you're going to have to trade Altuve or move DeShields to the center field, which I don't see happening. But that could also be a possibility.
Yeah, and I think when we get to that bridge, we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Mm-hmm.
I think Biggio and Bagwell is maybe a little bit too much of a praise, but I'd be more inclined to say 100 Pence.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, homegrown guy from the farm system, loved and admired top to bottom.
Yeah, and personally, when Pence was traded, I loved the return that we got for him, and I still do. It was an amazing return, but I thought Pence was the type of guy that the Astros needed to build around, but it turns out that they didn't, and we have the guy that we need to build around right now, and hopefully we do.
Yeah, that's exactly. We need to build around him and really the other prospects that are coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I think I look to the Robbie Grossman call up, and I'm ecstatic, you know, to what he can do for the Astros coming up. He's just got – well, I don't know if he just got called up, but the news was announced on Tuesday night that he would be making his major league debut. And I know you've been boasting, you know, saying bring this guy up.
Oh, yeah.
Free Grossman.
Yeah. Hmm. I'm a big Tom Grossman fan because, number one, I think he can stick at the major league level just because the dude gets on base. He is a typical leadoff hitter. He takes a lot of pitches. He sees a lot of pitches, and he'll work his way on base, whether he gets a hit, whether he gets walked, and the Astros have not had a leadoff hitter yet this year. Altuve, if we can fit him at the number two hole with Grossman playing number one, that will be pretty deadly because Grossman at the AAA level was hitting .324 with a .452 on base in 19 games this season, and that's pretty dang good. He's going to play center field more than likely while he's up. I'm hoping he sticks because I really like the guy, but I think he could just be up for as long as Justin Maxwell's on the DL.
Yeah, I'd go with that, and I think, you know, he's going to be like Brett Oberholzer, where he gets called up and then immediately, you know, brief appearance, and then he'll get sent back down.
I wouldn't say it'll be as brief as Oberholzer. Oh, I don't think you're saying that, but I think he may be able to stick longer, just because, I mean, we don't know. There's probably a good chance that Fernando Martinez will go on the DL soon again. Because that dude gets hurt. Yeah. I mean, he's only 24, but he was the number one prospect in baseball at one point in time. He just hadn't been able to stay healthy ever since his call up to the Mets. And he's still showing that he can't stay healthy. I remember as soon as he got called off the DL, which was, I think, that was what, Friday? Yeah, it was Friday. It was his first game this year. He said he's eager to show that he can stay healthy, yet he hadn't played a full game, or he hadn't played a game yet this season because he'd been on the DL, which kind of is like, kind of has me questioning his true health.
Yeah, I question it as well. And I didn't mean that he you know, his stint would be as short as you know, Oberholzer, but I think as long as there's a spot open, I think he'll be with the club.
Mm-hmm.
He's only 23 years old, and I think if he can earn a spot, Bo Porter and Jeff Luna will keep him there at the major league level, you know, for as long as they see fit.
Yeah, and I'm hoping it's quite a long time because the dude, I know Jeff Luna really likes him, mainly because he traded for him, and number two, because he gets on base, and that's a big part of Jeff Luno's plan, is to get people that'll get on base and can eventually score. And Grossman can do just that. And I really cannot wait to see his major league debut. I'm really hoping it's tomorrow.
Yeah, I'd like to see him make his debut tomorrow. Right now, he's got an on-base percentage of .456 in AAA Oklahoma City through 18 games. And speaking of the 18 games, I believe that's all of their games. I'm pretty sure he's played all of their games.
Well, now it's 19.
It's 19? Okay, yeah. So now that it's 19, I believe it was – it's going by Oklahoma City's game count, right? The Singleton suspension.
Yeah, because he's on their roster.
Yeah, so 31 more games till George Springer, John Singleton, can come back. So they, but who said it was? It was
Brian McTaggart.
Brian McTaggart.
Yep.
Because he's listed on Corpus Christi's roster. Not Oklahoma City's.
Really?
Yeah. He's listed on Corpus Christi. That's why I said it was Corpus Christi at first rather than Oklahoma City.
Hmm.
I'm interested either way. I think it's Corpus Christi just because he's on that roster. But who knows? Maybe because it's a holdover from last year. And he's due to be called up to AAA. So either way, it's we're about a fourth of the way done, and it's almost time for Singleton to come back.
Cannot wait for it either.
Neither can I. So tomorrow, hopefully, or maybe the day you're listening to this podcast, on Wednesday the 24th, we will have Robbie Grossman making his major league debut for the Houston Astros. A switch hitter, really. So, you know, no matter what he faces, hopefully he'll be able to do good.
Agreed.
We got him in the Wandy trade, right?
Yep.
Yeah, we got him in the Wandy trade along with Rudy Owens. I'm looking forward to see that. I hope Robbie Grossman does good, because him and Mark Krause in Corpus Christi just tore it up. They were home run hitters. Like, I'd like to see him hit his first home run be his first hit at his first major league at bat. I wouldn't care if it's in the Crawford boxes. I just want him to hit a home run.
I personally want to see him take a walk in his first at bat, so I can be like, hey, look.
He gets on base.
Thank you. That guy gets on base. Take notes.
So I think that just about wraps it up for this episode. Lee, is there anything else you'd like to say?
Have a good rest of the week, and happy hump day on Wednesday.
Yeah, happy hump day. I hope you have a good week. And hopefully these Astros are get a win tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Especially against the Mariners, man. That's a little bit rough.
Yeah, I thought losing the series to the Indians was rough, too.
Oh, man, that was just embarrassing.
The way we lost, it hurt, too. I was listening to it coming back to Beaumont, and I was like, oh, that hurt.
Yeah, that was a bit painful. And you know what hurts even more? Just not being able to watch them on CSN.
Yeah, and that's really not CSN's fault. I thought it was, too. But it's come to my potential that
your potential. It's
not. Or not my potential. Sorry, I was reading something. It's come to my knowledge that it's not, that it's actually the cable provider's fault, because they are still charging you and everybody else for Houston sports, and they're not showing it to you. And they will continue to do so until something's done about it. And CSN can't do anything about that. That's not their problem. And DirecTV is like, well, or not DirecTV, but all of them together are like, well, why do we have to sign a deal? And, you know, we're still getting paid, whether the fans like it or not. They're getting paid. They're making money off Houston sports that they don't show. So, I mean, they're going to keep doing it until something happens. And they're not really looking forward to getting a deal done. Those cable providers aren't. But CSN Houston's still trying, and I really do believe now that they are trying, but they're not getting any help from the cable providers.
No. As much as people roasted Jim Crane for this, I think it's in our lap. Really, the fans, get on the phone, call people, yell at somebody, chew some butt, tell them you want your CSN Houston.
Tell them.
All right, guys. Well, thank you all for listening. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at the Stros Bros, at Yoko Rick, at Lee underscore White 73. Make sure you check the site as we have updates regularly. And tell us what you think about the podcast. Give us your thoughts, your questions. As always, we always are on the Stros Bros to talk to you, to have any conversation, baseball, Astros related or not, whatever it is, you come and talk to us, and we'll have a conversation with you. So, Lee, any last words?
I really don't have anything.
All right, well, I don't have any words either. Go Astros, and we'll see you guys next time.
Peace.